radio that's exciting, unpredictable, and devoted to a peaceful, fairer planet. This is 102.3 FM, WHIVLP New Orleans, community radio for the city of New Orleans and all points beyond.
You are listening to 102.3 WHIVLP New Orleans community radio.
Good evening, y'all. This is Janneke. You're listening to Outspoken here on WHIV 102.3 FM, WHIV LP New Orleans. We are a community radio station with programming dedicated to human rights, social justice, and public health. And I'm excited that I have Charlie and Colette here in the studio once again. Colette, it's been how many times have you guys been here?
I've been here once. I don't. My dad's been here too many times to count.
Too many times. What's too many times, Charlie?
I don't know, 10?
Probably so, but I'm really appreciating you coming back because a lot of times, right, this show, Outspoken, I want to get more people on with their butts on bikes because I think that life will be better for everybody when we can get all along and we don't have to depend as much going places constantly and then using a huge car for it while we're not really traveling that far. And so, you know, we need a better awareness. And so during my show, how many times it will come up saying like, oh, I should ask Charlie about this. I should ask Charlie about this. So if I would go through all my papers.
Did you make a list?
Oh, hell no.
Oh.
I know. It would be just, you know, well, but I do want, you know, since you are lawyer with or an attorney with Bike Law Louisiana, besides that, you are a bike shop owner. You are a dad, a family man, a local, many, many hats.
Lots of hats.
LCI.
Mm-hmm. When did we do that, Janneke? Was that like 10 years ago?
I think
2014,
yeah, 2015. I think it was just before I got started with the radio station.
Okay. Wow, you've been doing this for 11 years?
This is my 11th year. Wow, I know, it's crazy. But a lot of times I don't really work really hard on getting people. I just like talk about my experience on Broad Overpass. And so last week I had this huge ramble on how I ran into this kid from Nepal who had lived in Germany for a while, and we ended up speaking German while he's on a little scooter, but he couldn't really keep up, you know? He had a limited amount of speed. Can you imagine going on a step and you want to go faster, but it doesn't go faster?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
That must be so frustrating.
No, and it's like, you know, one of our few hills in the city.
Well, today I saw him with his scooter waiting for the bus.
Today.
But it was kind of nice to see, you know, yet a familiar face on the route. But I ended up getting somebody started yelling at me.
That's what I wanted to hear more about. I'm reading your text, but like, let's hear it in person.
Okay, well, so what happened, I was on my way to the radio station, right? And I'm coming off of on Fountain Blue and approaching Napoleon that is merging in,
by El Pavo Real?
Yes.
Yes.
And so it's two lanes that are kind of becoming Broad Street. And people are confused because there's a sign missing on that corner. And people coming from Napoleon, in my opinion, are perceiving that they are yielding and they seem to be waiting from the traffic, because a lot of the people coming from Fountain Blue are not staying in the lane, even if it's a solid line, and they're crossing over and merging immediately while they're not supposed to. And so now people kind of waiting, and now I'm kind of on the bicycle, and I am not following the bike path anymore. I veered off. There's a lot of debris on that section, and I'm just riding with traffic in my lane that's coming from Fountain Blue, and I'm just waiting to see if I have a moment to merge in. Of course, the other driver didn't know what was going on, so they slowed down. I could merge immediately, and somebody started honking. And while up the street, a car is coming very fast with, I hear the engine just going fast and coming by me, and like so close where you kind of feel how it's kind of pulling towards the vehicle, kind of pushing away, right? You have kind of that momentum. So I knew they were very close, because that's not an experience that you feel often when people give you enough distance, you know, the 3 feet that you legally need to do. So then I come to the intersection where she's waiting for the light. And before I can even say anything, she's already leaning over through the open window and then screaming about that I needed to stay in the bike path. Now, she was coming by me very close while I was in the bike path. So I'm assuming that she felt that because I didn't follow the bike path, which is totally terrible designed on that corner by probably a traffic engineer that does not cycle at all himself or herself. And so, yeah, I did the right thing.
So however, she yells at you.
So I'm thinking that she did the speeding and the coming close, not because she was distracted, but because she was upset for me earlier, feeling a delay with the traffic merging in.
And Jelinka, you seem like you've got a pretty cool head.
What
did you do in response?
So I ended up remembering the... I took a picture of the driver's of the license. I wish I had taken the phone number of the person that saw it happen, because it was a busy place. That really was my mistake. So, but I was still kind of rattled a little bit from the closeness. But I put it very quickly together how she was really intended, because she was making the referral to me not being in the bike lane earlier when I was merging in from the one street to the other street, versus maybe waiting for somebody to, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole thing, what happened is that I decided last week, not this week because it's cold, but last week I decided to wear a helmet. And so before I got on the bicycle with this helmet, I said to myself, it's going to be interesting to see how people are going to treat me, if they're going to treat me differently than what I normally am treated, because I believe in the idea that when you let your hair go, that, you know, with the research that shows that then people are going to give you more space because you don't seem to know what you're doing. So maybe we need to be slowing down and be cautious versus wearing a helmet and then go like, oh, this person, you know, like I'm in a different world. And maybe it takes away the human aspect of me being somebody riding a bicycle versus that cyclist.
Or that you're fully protected with your helmet.
Yeah, so it was interesting.
So, Janneke, for any other 12-year-olds like Colette who are listening at home, can you give us like the 30-second version of growing up in the Netherlands, and like y'all are trained young how to ride properly, follow the rules. Yes, you've got your book in front of you. But what about like riding with helmets like today in the Netherlands? Is it like if we're going to go ride around in Amsterdam?
Yeah, you should wear a helmet.
But what percentage of adults do you think are wearing helmets?
I'm not sure about the percentage, but I think it's promoted that people use it more, and I think people will start using it more. My dad started using one because you have a lot of incidences where people are riding on these fat bikes. You know, they kind of look like a little scooter. With the elongated seat, mm-hmm. And with the big, the fat tire bikes.
Are they e-bikes?
They're little e-bikes. I don't think you really have to pedal. You just kind of sit on it. And they are easily, I guess, say this on air, but you know, you probably already know this, they're easily made much faster than they're designed to go. And so they're causing a lot of problems where, you know, definitely in the Netherlands, you have so many people that are biking and aging, and as we know, aging process decreases the ability to really get a good perception of how far somebody is, right? Depth perception decreases, and so they're looking and they're seeing a cyclist, but it's hard to get an idea of how fast they're going, and so they're making these turns, they may be making the left turn, and there's lots of crashes. So this is again where they have an increase in people dying. And a lot of these people dying in traffic are people that are also jumping or falling or doing weird stuff with the bicycle because they just cannot handle the power of these electric bikes. And then you have, of course, then all those fat bikes that are causing lots of problems.
What about kids?
And not the fat bikes. The people that are riding those.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Kids in the Netherlands.
Yeah, like young kids, like 13, 14-year-olds, like your age. You would be on one of those crazy things that go really fast.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
They're in our neighborhood too, and they're problematic. Like, we hear about this, especially with a lot of the work I do in Texas, with so many like suburban areas, and you just have like kind of this track housing and all these developments. Like, kids are on these day and night, and kind of pesky, you know, just because nobody wants to like stop at a stop sign. You can't see somebody coming down the sidewalk with a line of sight, and then you're pulling out, and like nobody wants to hit anybody typically.
But when I know when we were in Bike Easy and having lots of conversations with the idea that you can't just give people tickets, there needs to be some kind of education happening so that you understand that you need to follow some kind of rule. But why do we have rules if we're not enforcing anything, if we're not following anything? Parking on the street, like I think it's in England where if you're going on a walk, you know, you can rat somebody out and take a picture of their bad parked car. And I think if you give out 7 of these tickets, then you get like a monetary thank you or something. You're right. So it's to your benefit. Now, I understand that that would be very uncomfortable. But at the same time, how do you get people to stop from parking on the sidewalk?
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're just trying to keep our city from falling into itself right now, much less, you know.
I know. So, well, if they're saying they need more money, I would say that that's where money to be had.
Yes.
And you know, people not using blinkers. And, you know, this is what I'm thinking, right? You know, for my work, I'm working on, you know, evaluating people on their driving skills. The whole thing is that the better a driver you are when you're younger, the longer you're going to be a safe driver and can be an independent driver, right? And all these people that are terrible drivers now that we don't seem to be able to touch, you know, at one point it's going to be even more chaos.
Yeah, yes.
So How do you learn, Colette, about rules of the road besides your dad? Is there resources that you get at school to say?
Yeah. Like, there was this one time, continuing about e-bikes. We have lots of e-bikes and, like, e-scooters at school. And it got really bad to the point where one of my friends, like, almost got ran over. And to the point also where, I'm not saying who it was, but one of our teachers, they were, like, backing out their car. And somebody went out right behind them to where they almost, like, crashed into them. So we had, like, a whole assembly about it. And we learned, like, the driving, like, the rules of the road, of biking, and that really helped a lot.
Yeah. Do you think that as a cyclist, like, how comfortable are you now cycling in traffic?
I'd say I'm pretty comfortable with it.
Yeah.
As long as I, like, maintain a distance.
Yeah. Do you go in traffic already without your parents, or you guys are still doing things?
I feel more comfortable with my dad, definitely.
Yeah, kind of like a buffer.
Yeah.
Or just kind of like if we're riding down St. Charles in front of Ottoman Park and there's a bike lane and kind of sticking together, right? Mm-hmm.
But it's good, though, because statistics show kids who know how to ride a bike in traffic are better transitioned to driving with a car, if that is something that you choose to do. By the time you may be growing, I mean, why would you need a driver's license? Maybe everything is going to be...
Driverless
anyway.
Jenny and I rode in a driverless Uber this weekend in Austin.
How was that?
It was very strange.
Yes.
I didn't like giving up the control, and but it was quite pleasant. And I don't like chatting with people, but there was zero awkward conversation because there was no driver. And what I didn't like is it locks you in the back, and I get kind of claustrophobic, and I like to be in control, so I didn't like being locked back there. But you could at least roll the window down. You choose your music.
But how much space is there? Is there still space where somebody could sit there, or they have totally eliminated that?
Oh, yeah. No, somebody could totally sit up there. There are, like,
see,
seats.
And it would be nice.
And the wheel spins it takes turns. And
yeah, so in the long run, that doesn't even need to be there.
No, not really. I mean, I guess, like, if they need to drive it somewhere to, like, get service or override it or something.
Right, I guess.
You know, modifying an existing car now. Like, you know, I think in the future, these things can be designed to where they don't have a driver's seat, or that can be a passenger spot. And but it was very interesting. I would trust that. And I know the technology's not fully there, and they're still having incidents, but I would trust that more than most people I just see driving around looking down at their phones.
Yeah, I would. Same here. And you can make them where they cannot go any faster than 7 miles an hour in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
That would be great.
And I would be fine putting my kids in it.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, somebody texting, driving, or so.
Yeah. Right. Texting and driving. Or maybe somebody's driving and maybe they have terrible diabetes and foot problems and are driving while they maybe shouldn't be driving that way.
Yeah.
Yes. You know? They pass out. Just something. So anyways, but it was interesting. That was a first for me.
Right.
And I don't know. I feel like Colette riding her bike around helps her come work at the bike shop. She can't officially work there yet.
Communism.
Because
me and my friend are like interns there.
Yeah, they're interns.
Oh, well, that's good. That looks good on your resume later.
Yeah, that's what I think.
That's full circle because you work there. Were you an intern? You got paid.
I hung around unpaid for long enough until they decided that they kind of needed to pay me because I was actually at some point I became a net positive after being a net negative for a while.
So but what about sports, Colette? Are you doing the road racing like your dad?
No, I'm more into like competitive swimming and soccer than that. But like I will like a couple of weekends I'll like go into Audubon Park, maybe do like a lap or two, maybe like ride my bike around, and that like keeps my muscles going. So.
Right. Like I think a lot of athletes, in addition to training for their sport, they're using cycling as cardio and mindfulness and all that stuff.
You know who's very into it? Formula One drivers.
Really?
I think most of them at this point are very elite cyclists, and they train on the bike, which is a little dangerous because, you know.
You think they're just driving... Well, I just don't
want them to have a mishap. You know, they're out riding on some road and like somebody turns in front of them and that's a bad career.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Well, you know what? Why don't we take this? Oh, I didn't even look it up on the internet. Why don't you look it up on your internet, Charlie?
What you need?
The calendar.offbeat.com. Because WHIV is supported in part by Offbeat Magazine at offbeat.com. So, yeah, the band beat for today, what is it? The 17th. Oh, it's the 17th.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day. I was going to say it's going to be my birthday in a couple of months.
So I pulled up offbeat.com. Do you want me to read something?
Yes,
from it?
I was hoping that you can read the band beat for today, or Colette, perhaps. I can do too, but I just didn't pull it up yet.
Where is this? Where is this?
Oh, let me go. Oh, yeah. Now you're not on the right side at all. Oh,
Dad.
Well, what I'm going to do, I don't know how this works.
This is proof that the show is not overly scripted.
Exactly. If you're wondering what's going on, you're listening to Outspoken, a show about all aspects of cycling. I'm so excited that Charlie, it's hard to get Charlie in the show. And so I'm glad, Colette, that you're like, I'll go. And hopefully your sister will want to come one time. Was it you that I asked about eating the pavement in the past? I asked that a kid, like
when she crashed?
Oh, yeah.
I should ask more kids and see what they think of what that even means.
It's like, so I see a list of...
Yes, exactly.
Do I read this?
Oh, do you want to?
Do you?
Oh, here. I can read that. I normally read it. If you hold it this way, look, it's even bigger. Yeah, so since we are supported by Offbeat, .com, I was going to give you the band beat. So yes, March 17th, y'all. What I'm going to do is I'm going to turn you guys' mics off for a sec. If you head out now, 7:30, Philip Manuel tribute is happening. It's a tribute to Nat King Cole at Snug Harbor Jazz Bistro, while the Preservation All-Stars are at the Preservation Hall at 7:30. Then the Wednesday Bleeds Tour 2026 plus Gouge Away is happening at Tipitina starting at 8. The OGs featuring Peter Harris, Tony DeGrady, David Turkanowski, and Jason Marsalis at the Bayou Bar at the Punch Train Hotel at 8. Fritzl's All-Star Band with Jamil Sharif at 8 o'clock at Fritzl's European Jazz Club, while Javier Olondo and Asheson will be at Rock'n'Ball starting at 8. At 8, hosted at the Maison Restaurant and Music Club, is Paradise Jazz Band, while Tom Hook is going to be at Dos Jefes at 8:30. At 8:45 at the Preservation Hall, the Preservation All-Stars are going to continue, while Nisi B and Company will be at 30 by 90 at 9 o'clock. Brucey's Button-Ups open mic is happening at the BJ's Lounge in the Bywater, while KDB and the Hand-Me-Downs will be on stage at Bambula's at 9 o'clock. Then 9:30, Snug Harbor Jazz Bistro is going to continue having a Philip Manuel tribute to Nat King Cole going on. And the OGs featuring Peter, Tony, David, and Jason at the Bayou Bar at the Punch Joint Hotel, continuing at 10. That, my friends, was your band beat for tonight. More information, including content, original videos, and photos, can be found at offbeat.com. So I did not line up any music just yet. I'm just going to get straight back at chatting, and because what I want to know, Charlie, is did you have a chance to run that plate?
Did you send me the plate?
Uh-huh.
Was it a picture?
No, I just sent you the number.
Apparently, you know what? I did. I'm sorry. You did send me the number.
Uh-huh.
A private investigator should get back with us very shortly. He has like a batch that we're having him run right now.
So what are the opportunities where people's insurance could maybe get affected by these infractions, like crazy parking, and then they can maybe get that price back down by getting some educational credits?
If only it worked that way.
Why would not be able to work like that? That seems like an easy app that some kid can develop over a weekend.
It's, you know, I think it's a matter of you're taking somebody's rights away to some degree.
Well, what about my rights when I'm walking in the street and somebody is just cameraing me with, you're on camera, or have you heard those...
No, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying rights don't deserve to be taken away at some point. But I think the administration of it and the call it constitutional, call it due process, just like all those considerations need to be worked out. And I wish there was a way. Typically, the way it's done is if there's some infraction, you know, if they're not going to get cited by law enforcement, which is becoming more and more rare, right?
So
there's a civil case, and if you're making a claim on somebody's insurance, that's going to be a sad face by their file, and their premiums typically do go up, and that's one thing that we'll rely on.
However, wouldn't you want, as an insurance company, do everything in your power to make sure that the people that you're insuring are good drivers?
Yes, or at least setting premiums accordingly, you know, based on what their probable risk is. And you know, a lot more...
No, I don't think, like, that's ridiculous. We are paying so much money here. I think it's proof that the insurance companies are not doing their job to making sure that the people that they're insuring, that's saying that they have driver's licenses, knowing what we're doing. There's too many people driving distracted, not knowing the rules of the road.
Well, I think the problem is, like, let's say you're insurance company A. You can decide who you're going to insure. And if somebody's coming to you saying, hey, I want to get a quote from you, and here's my driving record, and here's the value of my automobile, and here's my age and all the demographic information that they take into account, they're going to say, all right, to insure yourself at this limit, it's going to cost X amount, right? And if you've got somebody who has moving violations, claims, crashes, it's going to cost way more for them to insure you. And so you can, of course, shop that around. But let's say you've got a clean record and you're a responsible driver and it's a fair price. The problem is, we live in this world. We live in New Orleans, and there are so many bad drivers. There are so many uninsured drivers. So even if somebody's bad, that's one thing, as long as they have insurance. But if they're a bad driver and they don't have insurance and they hit you, or look at our hit and run rate, let's say they hit you and then they flee, it's on your insurance company now to pay for some medical bills, your property damage, so they can't even go get insurance reimbursement from the other person's insurance if that person doesn't have insurance, or we don't know who they are because they flee the scene.
Yeah.
So that's part of what's making it so expensive, even if you're a good driver. It's all the bad ones.
I understand that that is a problem, right? And I think that at one point you could say, these are all the people that are registered with insurances, right? These cars all have license plates. And I mean, what is not matching up? Like,
So you're talking at least about 85% of the cars that have license plates?
Right.
Because probably 10 to 15% don't.
Right, right. So can we have some kind of way where even the bad drivers that do have insurance, that we can say you can improve on this cost that you're now enduring because your policy is so high, mm-hmm, by taking this whatever program online or get yourself educated,
yeah,
on something, and then your cost will go down. And I would think that that would be some requirement from the insurance company to facilitate that. And I think it would be interesting to say, why don't we sue all the insurance companies or something so that they do a better job educating versus, I mean, it's like a parent that just say, don't, oh, so bad, and not have any responsibility for, you know, not you perhaps, Colette, but, you know, having grown-ups run around like they are children and don't understand the rules of the road or how to collect themselves.
Well, here's where you should take some peace. Insurance companies are highly profit motivated, right? Like, they want to take as much as they can in premiums.
Yeah, so they're not motivated.
But no, well, they want to stay competitive with their competition, but at the same time, they don't want to pay out more than they need to. They'd much rather that go into, you know, profits and not paying out. So they're not going to want to insure people who are causing lots of losses. I mean, that's just part of it. If I could wave my wand, the way that we would cut down on really bad driving and uninsured drivers and people just driving around without, like, registration or license plates is traffic enforcement.
Yeah, enforcement.
And severe penalties. Like, yes, if you're driving without insurance, your car's getting towed. If you're driving without a license plate, you're getting ticketed. Maybe your car's getting towed. And when you talk to people in other states, like, I may have mentioned this to you once. I had an Uber driver who came here from California. He'd been here like a week. And I asked him, I'm like, well, what's a big change between here and California? Like, what have you noticed? And he's like, where are the license plates? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I know a lot of people have them expired, or it's paper plate flapping around, you can't even read, or tore off or whatever. And he's like, you would get pulled over within the first hour. Yeah. And he's like, and that might be generous. Like, you can't drive around without a visible plate in California.
Yeah. And why is that not happening here?
Well, you know, it's a look at the combination of factors of we've got understaffing with NOPD. There's only so much you can do in terms of, like, if you're chasing around
violent crimes. I understand that, but maybe at one point we need to realize that maybe we'll be more respectful towards each other and not having all these violent crimes if we can be respectful at the basic level. Why are people parking on the sidewalk?
I think you're giving too much hope in the good and responsibility. Yes, I know.
I want people to stop parking on the sidewalk.
Yeah. I mean, there's like some education.
There's so much money to be had in my neighborhood by giving people tickets when they're parking on the sidewalk. The city will be out of financial problems like immediately just by addressing those drivers.
What if the mayor deputized you?
I would love that. I'm available in a couple of weeks.
In some capacity. Well, she's listening. Here's an idea.
Really?
If she's listening.
Oh, well, if she's listening, I would say, let's look at the basic stuff, right? It's like driving. You ride on the bicycle. The space that's in front of you is your right of way. The space that you're going to be occupying, that's reasonable that you're occupying. So if we can treat the whole world with that principle in mind and be respectful and only get in the other right of way after we have claimed it and we saw that nobody was intended to take it in the first place. And that applies everywhere. We would have no more problems ever.
Yeah, that's the whole idea of the right of way.
I know. Let's enforce it.
Yeah.
You know, use your blinking blinker.
Yes. Yes, use your blinking blinker.
I need that sticker on my car.
Hey, quick memory. Now that Colette's like, you know.
Oh, yeah, please.
Do you remember watching her at a party when she was about 1 year old?
Yes, and she almost like ran away from me.
Well, yeah, she tried, but we got her.
It was close.
But you blink and she's probably two. You blink and it's like a decade goes by.
You were totally taken off.
I don't think Colette remembers that, but
that was very fun. It was a long time ago. I can't believe Colette.
Was that Jamie Wine's party?
Yes, like right there. You know, or like Dublin or something like that.
Yeah, there's a name I like to say, and you know, a person I like to think about.
Yeah.
Haven't seen him in a while. But if he's listening, hi, Jamie.
I doubt if he's listening. That guy's busy with a lot of stuff.
Don't sell yourself short, Yannicka.
No, I mean, I'm always surprised with how many people are listening.
So, on a lighter note.
Yes, please.
May we change gears?
Yes, yes, yes. I have a list of all stuff that we could be talking about.
Ooh, all right, well, I can let you go.
But I think we're like going through this pretty great.
So, just I'd love your thoughts on this. We've been trying to make some updates to the bike shop, and when's the last time you've been?
When you had a party. Now, like I might be in the business of getting a bicycle because there's going to be some changes at work, and I might be riding my bicycle to Clearview at Veterans.
Oh, at that new auction facility.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to have to take Central.
It's going
to
be long. I don't know if there's a better way. There's a few roads. I was thinking taking Rosa and then taking Veterans.
No,
I was going to take the lane. I'm going to take the lane.
Oh, Yannicka.
I think it would be very interesting to see how that would go.
You're
going to
get honked at for like 3 miles as you ride down. Well, one of the things that we've done at the bike shop is get a vending machine.
Oh.
I ultimately want to get one facing outside so that if somebody needs a tube or a patch kit or something at 3 a.m, you can go do it and like that's fine. So we're going to work out some concerns about like I don't want people just like breaking the glass and like taking it all, right? So we're trying one on the inside now and we want some fun stuff in it. So we're going to have things like...
Ooh, like those. I really like those.
Yes, this is what I'm going
okay,
for.
Okay, so go first. I really wish there was more places in town where you can buy those little items that you can put in your spokes. Like I have a little spoke that is the doggy of this cartoon I used to look at. So the little dog rides in my wheel. But also I like these little things that you can screw on your valve. Like I have some dice.
Fancy valve stem. Novelty valve stem covers.
Yes, yes, okay. Exactly. Like something cute and something.
Wait, what are the things you put in your spokes?
Well, I have a little doggy that you screw in there
Will you send me a picture of this at some point?
That's my bicycle right here.
Okay, I'll take
a
look at it.
On your way out. Yeah, I got like that's what you get in the bike store. If you, you when you go travel out of the country, mm-hmm. when you go to bike shops, don't you see the fun things they have?
I'll see them sometimes. But
because I do think the last time, I was kind of disappointed I did not see more feminine bike products. Like floral designs or some kind of not sporty basket.
Got it.
And I'm not calling that feminine, I mean, but like a wicker basket.
Yeah.
Like, what about those old-fashioned wicker child seats where the kid is sitting sideways versus staring at the back of the child? They're sitting sideways in this wicker basket.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Nobody would buy that, I bet.
Well, and look, we've got some of that. But, like, really for the vending machine, it's like, all right, you know.
I love the vending machine
idea. Spending a little more time in Austin.
Lip balm.
Lip balm.
Lip
That's
balm
good.
Would also be good to go Ooh. In there. Maybe sunscreen. Maybe a poncho.
I'm you taking know, notes. Thank
also,
you.
What I really like is those.
Good, huh?
I also mm-hmm. like those bike covers. You know,
like a rain cover.
Yeah, it's a little rain cover. Mm. In the Netherlands, you see a lot of people using it for advertisements. So they go through the city where you have like thousands of bike parked, and they just put all those advertisement covers on all those seats.
Mm.
Yes, I love
those. Is it like
those.
A seat cover or full bike?
No, just for the seat.
Just for the seat.
Because in the Netherlands, most bikes have like holes in the seats,
yep.
and then when you sit on it, you don't really want to get your butt wet.
No.
So those covers are very appreciated.
I love that. Colette, go ahead.
I remember Mom got us these things, like continuing with lip balm. It was like a lip balm, and you could also put it on like your body. It would help with like the strong wings and stuff like that.
To, it was like a body skin protectant?
Yeah, kind of.
All right, I like this.
It's Japanese cherry blossom.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah.
That sounds nice.
It does.
You know, they love having these like ramen rides. In Austin, where everybody brings their ramen, and you stop and you light your little stove and you boil the water, and so I think we're gonna put some ramen in there for anybody who wants to grab that, and some Hot Wheels cars, or.
I think the ramen idea is not a bad idea because how many people are driving through with those major rides where people are going to go from the Canadian border all the way to. To the south they go.
Yeah, we have a lot of people who are like bike trekking, bike packing,
right,
that are coming through.
All right, guys, there will be ramen at Charlie's place.
Yes, and we're actually thinking about not this weekend but next on that Sunday morning. Have you heard of coffee outside?
No. I bet it's coffee outside.
It is. And the kind of thought is that you ride your bike, party pace, easy, little group of people, and go somewhere. And, like, you can just make coffee, basically, like, hand ground, and you bring your pour over and your little stove, and you sit around, have coffee, like, somewhere in the woods, and then come back. So I think we're going to try that. I'll let you know about it. Taylor Mills and Nola Fixt are co-hosting this with us, so we're trying to figure out the details.
Well, just let me know when to show up, but I don't drink any coffee. Like, is this only coffee? I am an anti-coffee person. Not anti-coffee. I can make coffee for other people, but I won't.
What's your drink
and
of choice?
I don't drink it.
Like, would you drink tea?
I drink tea.
Okay.
I drink tea.
Well, yeah, I think we could boil some water.
I just want to make sure.
Bring tea. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, inclusive.
We're very welcoming.
Hey, Charlie, while you're here,
yes.
I did see something I wanted to ask. I saw that NHTSA, the National Highway Safety Traffic Association, mm-hmm. or administration.
Traffic safety, yeah.
Gave a grant to Sinsemini Parish where they want to increase the awareness of pedestrians and cyclists to adhere to the rules of the road. I think that's the plan. Apparently, a lot of cyclists are blowing through, and I noted, you know, like on the Tammany Trace and stuff. And I noted a lot of comments where people are going back to cyclists need insurance, cyclists need
a license,
registered
sure.
license. What's the bike law thought on that at the moment? I mean, we.